Everyone, God bless you. At this time, I'm going to read a scripture, and it's going to be in John chapter 15, verses 1 to maybe 16. And this, the Jesus was speaking, and he said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now we are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father loved me, so I loved you. Continue ye in love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friend, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordain you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit may remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it unto you. These things I commanded you, that ye love one another." And here we find Jesus is saying that we should love one another. Love is the greatest thing that we can give anyone. And this morning, as we bow our heads in prayer, we're asking you all to just focus on the Lord, because he is our only source. Heavenly Father, this morning as we come together to fellowship, to worship and adore your most holy name, Father, we know that you created the earth and the fullness thereof. And Father, we are part of the earth. We are in the world, but we are not of this world. God, we ask you to keep us and guide us, lead us into all truth, because you are the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. But Father, we receive you because you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And this morning as we come, let us come in love one to another, because as we love you, let us love our neighbor as ourselves. And God, we ask your anointing, we ask your grace and your mercy to come in fellowship and sup with us, Lord God. We invite you in this morning, and we ask you to stay with us. And not only to stay with us here, but to stay with us as we leave this place. Father, we ask you for those that are sick and afflicted this morning. We ask you to touch their bodies, Father. Even myself, Lord God. Father, everyone seemed to be under attack from the enemy, but we know, Lord God, that we have the victory, because the victory comes in your name. And in your name, we come in this place this morning, thanking you for your mercy of bringing us here. Thanking you for watching over us last night. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, let us go into worship. Let us go into fellowship with you. And let us hold on to your unchanging hands. We ask you, Lord God, to bless the pastor of this house, the leader of this house. Wherever he is, God, we ask your anointing to flow on him. And we ask, Lord God, whatever he does, he will do it in your name. And fruits will be derived from whatever he does this morning. Father, we ask again to bless each one. Bless those that are coming. We ask you, Lord God, that you will continue to teach us and lead us as we give ourselves totally and completely to you this morning. In Jesus' name we ask all these and all other unmentioned mercies. Amen. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Yvonne Langhoff. I'm married to this handsome man that's sitting right up here. I'm from Jamaica. And as a young girl growing up, I did not know that God had a calling on my life. So I felt like I was just in the world growing up as an ordinary child. But every time I would do something that was wrong, I would get in trouble. And I always wonder how I get in trouble and the other ones didn't get in trouble. But I was the one that always got caught. They wouldn't get caught, but I would. So when I left Jamaica and I came here, I lived in New York, so I tried out a little bit more. I tried the clubs. And every time I would go in there, the Lord would speak to me and I didn't know who was talking. You know, you don't belong here. And I would feel very uncomfortable. So then I kind of stopped going, but I still would buy the worldly music and I would play it in my little place that I had rented. And I still would feel uncomfortable and the voice would still speak to me. So I just threw them out. But I still wasn't going to church. And then I would go occasionally, but I wouldn't, you know, like be serious about it. Because I wanted to enjoy the world. Because I thought that was what life was all about. I was brought up in church, but it goes through one ear and it went through the other. When I was 14, I was baptized in a church, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. They didn't teach us about the Holy Spirit. They just tell us if we do good and get baptized, it would be okay. So I did. Went through the ritual. Still didn't work, something else was missing. And finally, I said, if this is all that God has, it's nothing, it's boring. So I went out there to see if I could find something to excite me, but it didn't work either. And finally, one day, I went to a church and it made such a difference when you meet God. Preacher was saying, if you want to meet God, you come right up here and he will meet you. I said, well, God, if you're in this place and if you're alive and if you're well, like they're saying, like the preacher is saying, I want to meet you. Well, I went up to the altar and he had a little pool with Brother David Paul. He had a little pool. He said the water was from the pool of Bethesda. And he said, when you step in the water, I guarantee you God would meet you there. So when I stepped in the water, this foot went in. I don't know if this one went. God met me, because when I came out of whatever I went into, I was laying on the floor looking up at the lights. And my life changed since then. And I went home and I told my mom. I called her and I told her. And she said, oh, this is what happened. I said, what happened? She said, when I was carrying you she must have been about, not quite 3 months. She said she had gone to a church. It wasn't a Holy Spirit filled church. It was one of the denominational. And she was sitting down and all of a sudden her whole body was shaking. And she said she felt the baby in her. Nobody knew she was pregnant. She didn't tell anybody. She felt was just jumping, just leaping. She tried to hold her feet down and her feet was going. And everything was just going. And she said she went home and she didn't say nothing. She said, I'm not telling nobody about this experience. She said, this is weird and I'm not saying anything. So she said for a few days, she thought maybe she had lost the baby because she didn't feel any more life. And then she learned later that a baby don't move till about the fourth month. So, and she said, that was what happened. The Lord had touched you in that church. I said, well, nobody told me anything about it. And that's the reason why every time I go somewhere that I'm not supposed to go or where I'm not supposed to be and do something I'm not supposed to do, this voice kept speaking to me. And so I thank God for that tonight. Today I'm here and I love the Lord and I want to seek Him more and I want His truth to be manifested in my life. And that's my story for right now. Amen. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, you don't have to go there, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way to the truth. The truth is, it means the road that leads to life eternal. And Jesus is that way. And we must. There's no if, there's no but. We must seek that way. If we don't seek that way, we'll never come to the truth. Because a lot of preaching are going on, a lot of things are going on in the world, and it's not the truth. And the only way we can have eternal life is if we seek the truth. And the truth only comes through Christ. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth. And He is eternal life. And that's the only way we can get it. The spirit of rebellion and stubbornness is one of the things that came in when Adam fell. We rebel. If you notice sometimes, and I can remember when I was a child, they would speak to you about something you have done and you would rebel. You would rebel so bad that sometimes, I remember rebelling, so sometimes I couldn't say anything and I couldn't do anything, but I would make a face. I would act out something to satisfy myself because I couldn't make the face and let them see it. It's not like today you can't scold your child and you can't do this and you can't do that. Those days we used to get beat. I remember I used to hide under the bed from my parents. Now the kids would stand up and they would say anything because they have DSS to back them. And so if you rebel against the truth, you're rebelling against Christ. And today we find that in the church, in the body of Christ, that the people are rebelling against truth. Whenever somebody come to you and they tell you, well, this is what is happening and this is what is happening, they rebel against it. Yesterday I had an experience. This preacher called me and we were talking. And he said to me, the Lord told me to tell you so and so and so. And I said, thank you. I said, this is a confirmation of what God was speaking to me. And the person get really, really upset. Why? Because they wanted to be the first person that, and they didn't want me to have a connection with God so God could tell me. So they were angry because I said it was a confirmation. So I had to correct that person. I said, look, I am just letting you know that what you said was the truth because God has already spoken to me in my spirit about it. And also, don't think that because you're a preacher or because God speaks to you, that the first thing that come out of your mouth, I am going to accept it and run with it. I have to check with my Father also. Because we are of the same Father, and if we are of the same Father, then whatever He tells you, He's going to confirm it to me. But He already had confirmed it to me, and I was just letting you know. And she still was angry. She said, well, I'm not arguing. And I said, okay. But some people want to make sure that they are the first, and they are the only one that God speaks to. And that's what she was portraying. And she got angry about it. Because she was rebellious and stubborn realizing that God speaks to other people too. She said, well, you know me, I wouldn't say anything that God didn't say. I said, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just telling you that it was confirmed to me before. And he was just confirming again what he had told me, that he was the one speaking to me. Because I like to know, when God speaks to me, I want to make sure that it's him. And he was using you to confirm to me. And so it was going haywire. So I said, okay, I'll talk to you later. God bless you. Thank you. Amen. Last week, I watched the... I don't watch TV a lot. Sometimes I won't watch TV for a whole week. Sometimes the TV is on. My husband is a TV person. And I don't even know what's going on there because I don't watch it. But last week the Lord had me to watch the news. And I saw where our former president, Clinton's wife, Hillary, was in the pulpit of a church. And the announcer said Hillary brought the message that Sunday, which was about 2 weeks ago. And I'm saying, as I'm asking the question this morning, what could she preach about? What could she preach about? But see, the enemy is tricky. He's trying to have these people that are running for president go in the church to make us think they're Christians, so it's okay to vote for them. So they use this idea of, if I go in the pulpit and preach, the American people will think I'm a Christian and they'll vote for me. And then when I go in, I'll get to do what I want to do. And as I sat there, I watched it and I said, I can't believe this woman. Anybody would allow her to stand in the pulpit of a church and preach when she talks to the dead. President Roosevelt's wife is her spirit guide. So it's all demonic. And so we find rebellion in every corner. And as we walk in the spirit, we have to know that the spirit of God is leading us. Because the Bible says it will get so bad that if it is possible, the very elect will be deceived. So people of God, be on your watch, because Satan is raising up men and women to deceive the nation. I was attacked last night very badly. My prayer partner this morning when I called her, she was attacked. Came in here today and Gail says she was attacked. The young lady that I bring to sometime, Karen, she was attacked this morning. She couldn't come out. So once you're walking in the truth, you will be attacked by the enemy. But know this. When he attacks you, it's the fact that you're feeling ill in your body. But it's not the truth. The truth is, Jesus Christ suffered, died for every ailment that you might feel. So sometimes you have to rise up and say to the enemy, look, I'm all right. I'm a child of God. He lives in me. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I am going to win this battle. No matter how you try to fight me, I am a winner. Because he won the battle and I won it too. Amen. Again last week I was watching. I'm going to the scripture. Again last week I was watching and I saw a man. And he said he was Jesus. He lives in Florida. He has a whole slew of people following him. I saw people flew in from California and all over the world because they want to see this Jesus. He said he is going to have thousands and thousands of people following him. They asked him, where is your nail scar hand? He said he had surgery. He smokes and he drinks. But he claims he never gets drunk. But yet they have a mugshot of him that he was arrested for drunken driving earlier before he became Jesus. He wasn't Jesus all the time. You know, he just decided to be Jesus. He said the first Jesus came in Jerusalem, but he came to Florida. And he is the second coming. There's no more Jesus coming. He is it. Then they took him back to he's a Puerto Rican. They took him back to Puerto Rico. And when they took him back there, the people said, get him out of here. He used to pick pockets. He used to break in the houses. But he's Jesus. And here in Florida, people are following him, giving him their money, and letting him ride in this big, luxurious car and wearing big suits and paying for his livelihood while he was a nobody before. And he said, when they asked him those questions, he said, Father, I'm saying it like the first Jesus said it. I'm saying it, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And a lot of people are believing these lies, these delusions. So we have to watch out. And a lot of people that are going to church, fellowshipping with us, because they have not connected with the vine. Like I spoke up this morning, I read the scripture. We are the branches and he's the vine. They're not connected. So they will get fooled easily. Open our eyes and see and know that Jesus is Lord. In the same scenario I was watching, they said they found the bones of Jesus. And the DNA matches his family. Well, I know I have the DNA of Jesus, but not the natural one. Because Jesus rose from the dead, and he's alive and well, and he's sitting at the right hand of his Father, making intercession for you and I. So how can they find his bones in Jerusalem? Amen? So it's so many different delusions, and people are accepting it and grabbing onto it, holding onto it, and thinking that it's the truth. And it's all a lie. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. We know that truth produces obedience. If we walk in truth, we will be obedient. But the enemy is using fear to stop us from believing the truth. Fear looks and reason with the truth, but faith just jumps and trusts in the truth. And so at this time, we need to ask God to increase our faith. Let our faith develop so that we will have no fear when all these things come, because it's coming, and it's coming more and more. In the 12th chapter of Genesis, in the first verse, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and unto a land that I will show thee. Now I'm going to go to verse 7. And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took his wife Sarah, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance, and they that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to the land of Canaan, and unto the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land into the place of Sichem, into the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanites was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there built the altar unto God, who appeared unto him. Here we find God said to Abraham, I want you to get up out of your father's land, out of the land that you know, the land that you own. I want you to get up, and I want you to go to a place that I shall show you. Now, God didn't tell him where he was going. Now, for me, He would have to tell me where I'm going. Am I going to America? Am I going to Germany? Am I going to Jamaica? Where am I going? I'm not leaving here until you tell me where I'm going. But Abraham was so obedient, he had so much faith in God that he just went. I don't know about you, but he'd have to give me some more specific, you know. I'm just not going to just get up and go like that. But Abraham trusted God. Abraham had faith in God so much that he just get up and say, okay, the Father said to go, and I'm going, and he just start walking. Now that's faith. That's faith. And that's the kind of faith we need now in this time, because of all the things that is coming up on the earth. If you stop and look at the things that are happening, you will know that we need Abraham's kind of faith. And God said that Abraham, he said, the families of the earth will be blessed. So I need to ask God for the faith, kind of faith that Abraham had. Right? And if all the seed gonna be blessed, then that means I can have it. You can have what you ask for. And sometimes we need to ask for what these others had, because they don't need it anymore. We do. I know I do. Because it would be hard for me, for him, God, to come and tell me to get up. The first thing I'd say, well, God, where am I going? Give me a name. Give me a place. I'm not doing just get up and walk like this. Now I'm here. I'm comfortable. I have everything I need. So why would I just get up and go just wandering around in the earth and you don't tell me where I'm going? We would have to have a little conversation there. But Abraham didn't do that. He had so much faith. He just got up, went. And because of him, we are blessed. But I want you to watch verse 7. And God appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Now today, what are they fighting for over there in Israel? They're fighting for this land, the same land that he said unto his seed, he will give it. And who is fighting? The seeds of Abraham. The Arabs. We know those are Ishmael, the tribe of Ishmael. They are fighting for that same land that God said he would. So they are really fighting for something that they figure it's rightfully theirs. And who they're fighting? They're fighting the Jews. Because they said the Jews should not be on the land. They should be pushed into the sea. They are nobody. But we know that they are God's people. And I thank God for the Jews, because if it wasn't for them turning their back on Christ, I wouldn't be grafted in. So every day we pray, we should pray for the Jews, and we should pray for Jerusalem. We should pray for those people, because we were given something because they refused it. Amen? You can say amen if I'm right. Amen. And then we're going to go to Genesis 17. And I'm going to read verse 4 and verse 6. And this is dealing with Abraham still. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more be called Abraham, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations I have made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations from thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed, and after thee in their generation, for everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Here we find Abraham was so obedient, God changed his name. His name was Abram. Now he earned his name. His name is Abraham. Now I don't think I would get that far. I'm not going to say I will do it, because right now, in the place that I am and how I feel, I don't think I would have that faith that Abraham had. But I need to have it. And then we find that when after Abraham gained his name, and the Lord had told him that he was going to give him a son. I don't need to go through the scriptures because you all know the story. God said, I'm going to give you a son. And here we find his wife Sarah, she decided for God that it couldn't happen. Well, I mean, Abraham, you got a little life left in you, but I know I am through. You know, this is it for me. I'm done. So I'm going to help out God, and I'm going to tell you what to do. What happened? They turned away, and they didn't listen to the truth. God has spoken the truth to them about what and what he was going to do and how he was going to bless them with a son, with a seed. So Sarah, not having the faith like I would, I don't know about you, but I would. I probably think the same way. Because right now, if God told me I was going to have a child, I would say, forget it. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. And that's exactly how Sarah felt. And so she decided, well, okay, let's sit down and reason this thing out sensibly. Because see, God don't have no sense. But we do. So we're going to fix it and show him what we human can do. Because he don't know what he's doing. Imagine, he told the man to go to a place where he gonna send him. He walked, he went, he had faith, he went. God did all of that, but now, because God told him something that she thought was impossible, she's gonna fix it for God. Isn't that like some of us? God healed us of some great disease, and when another cold came on us, he can't stop us from having a cold. We believe for this right now, and it happened, but the next step we can't believe for, because we figure he can't do it. And then we don't remember. It's okay, before I go any further, about 2 months ago, I was sharing it with Gail. A woman called me, and I wasn't able to answer the phone. She called me on my cell. But when I saw the message, I called her, and she was on her way to a meeting, and she said to me, I can't speak with you right now, but anyway, I'll talk to you later. And she started talking in tongues, and I listened to her talking tongues, and I started to pray. And then she began to tell me, she said, God said to tell you that even when the enemy will attack you so that your blood pressure will go up, know that I'm with you. And don't worry about it. I got you. She went, hung the phone up. It's been about 6 weeks. Last night, my blood pressure just shoot up. From no out of nowhere. You think I remember what she said? I was running around trying to take stuff to see what I could do to get my blood pressure down. I forgot the message that God had sent to me. So I called Carrie, and I'm looking for prayer now, because I need somebody to join with me. Because every I checked it, it was like 80-something, going up to 90. Then the next time I checked it, it was 188 over 100. I said, no, I got to call somebody here. So I called Carrie, and we started praying. And then she told me, she said, I see at the four corners of you, there's angels. And I saw Jesus descending down. And even then, I still didn't remember what God had warned me about. I forgot about it. So after we prayed and she got off the phone, somebody else called, and I talked to them and I prayed with them. And then I'm laying down, and the Spirit of the Lord said, remember the prophecy. And I said, oh God, I'm so sorry. Father, forgive me, Lord. All this time I've been running around, and he had already warned me about it. And see, this is what the enemy wants. He wants you to forget the promises of God. And I'm not going to be ashamed to say I did. And I was kind of getting kind of concerned because it kept going up for no reason. But you know why? Because after I finished studying, I left downstairs and I came upstairs to go to bed. And then I started feeling it. He didn't want me to read the Bible. And because I was studying and reading the Bible and praying, he said, okay, I'm going to get you now. And just that quick, my faith went straight down on the floor. And I instead of trampling on the enemy, I was trampling on my own faith. So here we find that Abraham tolerated, he listened to what his wife was saying. And she said, now, this is what I'm going to do. My maid can do for me what I can't do. And because Abraham listened to her, here comes Ishmael. How many of us have an Ishmael in our life? Ishmael was working on me last night. He came in there and I believed everything he was saying. You're going to get sick, you got to go to the hospital and everything else. And I did not remember the promises of God. But after I got prayed for, after we prayed, I held on to the promise. And then the Holy Ghost bring back to my remembrance the things that God has spoke to me through that woman. And this morning, when Carrie and I started to pray, because we pray every morning, the enemy was attacking her. And she said to me, he started attacking me this morning early, but I'm not going to pay him any attention. Before we got off the phone, she was okay. So the enemy is going to attack you once you begin to walk in the realm of the Spirit with God, because he wants to distract you and to let you look at all the other possibilities and at what you think is going to happen. And you know what I told him afterward, after a while? I said, devil, if I go home with Jesus, that's all right. And if I stay here, it's still all right. I'm still going to serve him. And then he just back off. By 1 o'clock, I checked my pressure. It was back to normal. Because he realized he couldn't scare me anymore. Because what if he takes me home? Fine. I won't be listening to the news. I won't be hearing all this foolishness that's going on anymore. I'll be happy. And if he don't, I'm still going to continue to press on to the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. So he listened to the lie. He listened to the delusion that Sarah was telling him what and what we can do about this situation. And then here comes Ishmael. Ishmael came in the picture and Sarah realized what she had done. She got jealous. Then Isaac came, the promise that God had already promised her. And if she had just waited on that promise, if I had just waited on that promise, I wouldn't be in the place that I'm in today. But she didn't. She wanted to help out God. And I wanted to help out God last night too, because that's why I was wandering around in the house wondering, what can I take to bring this blood pressure down, when Jesus had it all in control. He had it in control before it started, because he knew it was going to happen. That's why he gave her the message to give to me, so that I will be prepared. But you know how you get the prophecy and you put it aside and you forget all about it. But I thank God he didn't forget about me. And so that's why we have so much division in the body of Christ. Because just like how Isaac and Ishmael had been divided, they are one father. They are one father. But they are two different mothers. And you get, when you have something like that, you have a problem. If God does not intercede into that situation, when you have something like that, you have a problem. We and the world are one father. God made everybody in his own image and in his likeness, but we are not walking together. So the church is here and the world is fighting against the church. The world now is trying to tell us there is no God. Jesus doesn't exist. They found his bones in Israel. So what are you serving? You're serving a God that doesn't exist. We are self-existent. We made ourselves, and we can do anything we want. That's what they're trying to tell us. Just the other day, a friend of mine in Arkansas was thrown out of a church. He was preaching the truth from the Bible. And they told him they didn't want him there anymore because he was destroying their tradition. And they didn't want to hear anything that he had to say, and he was teaching from the Bible. So he was thrown out of the church. He got a building, because some of the people left with him, so they wanted to, and his home wasn't large enough to have the service, so he rented a place, not knowing that this place belonged to the same organization. When he started, people started coming, the place began to fill up, the organization sent men down and told, close him down, and they weren't renting the place, so he had to leave. But thank God he got another building. They did not want him. These are church folks. I won't call the denomination name, but these are church folks. This is a big organization, and they did not want to hear the truth. Did not want to hear the truth. He was destroying their tradition and their beliefs, and they didn't want to have nothing to do with it. Spoke to a pastor the other day, and she told me for her, Jesus already came. She's teaching people. She said she believes she's coming back in another life. That's New Age. But she's preaching to people. And she's claiming that the Holy Ghost is ministering to her, and she's ministering to people. She's laying hands on people, and she's telling me. And she asked me, what do I think of it? I said, it's not what I think. It's what the Bible says. I don't think about what God says. I know what he says. So I don't think. I don't have any time to think about what he says, because my thinking don't have anything to do with what he said. What God said is absolute. These lies about Christ and about the truth that Christ gave to us in his word, these lies are running in our schools, they are running through the media, and some of it is lurking in the corners of churches in our area. One writer says, the love of truth is worth more than money. It's more than religion, more than religious experience, false doctrine. It's more than tradition. It's better than friends. It's better than family. And it's better than being popular. It's even better than life. When walking in truth, we open doors for God. When walking in lies, we open doorways for the devil. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall be liberated. Let us hold on to the truth of God. For the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. Jesus Christ, when he went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit back. And he said, the Holy Spirit will lead you, teach you, and guide you into all truth. Amen.